Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. If you haven't watched the documentary Sustainable on Netflix, might I suggest that you put it on your list for the weekend? The film looks at the local food movement, about restaurants and stores using locally grown produce from regional farms. But it also looks at the current state of industrial farming and the national food policy. And the outlook is grim. From farm runoff to soil loss to pesticides to meat production, this doc tracks industrial agriculture's impact on climate change. It uses local farmers and researchers to look at how agriculture and food production has to change, for us to change. But can it? Will the big business of industrial agriculture change their systems faced with the fear of possibly losing money? Overall, the film is well shot, well directed, and gives a glimmer of hope that there are some ways for us to turn around before we can't turn back. Matt Wexler and Annie Spiker are the creators of Sustainable. It's being shown at the Earth Week Mini Film Fest at the Garfield Park Conservatory on Saturday. Matt will be there for Q&A, and he is my guest tonight on Extension 720. Matt, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
So where's the idea of this documentary come from?
Well, Annie and I are married, and one thing that really brought us together was food. And this idea of going to the farmer's market. I'd actually never been to a farmer's market before I met her. I thought it was a bunch of bull. And I went there and I tasted some of the greatest flavors that I've ever had in my life. Springtime asparagus and French breakfast radishes and snap peas. Like, just flavors I felt deprived. I felt like, how have I been deprived of these amazing flavors for so long, and what's the secret? And then you look up at the signs for all the farms. They say local, organic, sustainable. And I grew up in a world where labels, I was very skeptical about it. So I wasn't going to believe it necessarily. But I was in love with the flavors, and I wanted to investigate more about it. So Annie and I set off on this course to really define what it meant to be sustainable within the food system.
And you really did. And you got some great people in the documentary talking about their take, and whether it be chefs or researchers or scientists or farmers. But the film is really about Marty Travis. And Marty Travis he owns a local farm, and he set up a cooperative to bring local produce to farmers markets, to restaurants, and to stores here in Chicago. Take it from there.
Yeah, well, we went down to Marty's farm on a hunch from a tip that Rick Bayless gave us. We were lucky that Annie had done some editing on his show for so many years. And we went down there thinking, we'll shoot, 3 minutes here, and it'll be nothing, right? Just a little blip on the radar of the whole film. And we ended up staying there way longer than we expected. We kind of just fell in love with his farm and with him and his son and what they were doing. And we came back and we said, this is it. I mean, this is the story right here. And he's doing everything right. He's doing stuff that nobody's doing. And we have to establish the story from here and go from there.
It really was. I mean, it almost flies in the face of what we know about farming. When you're watching Marty and his family, his very small family, his son and his wife, and what he does with the harvest and putting them in the vans and driving up from central Illinois all the way into Chicago. Great shots of the skyline and the traffic, and going to all the restaurants and conversing with some of the award-winning chefs, from Stephanie Iser to Rick Bayless, about, this is what I have, this is what I'm going to give you. It really, it changed the way I thought about farming in this state.
Yeah, I mean, when Bon Appetit named Chicago the best food city in 2016, I believe it was, a large part of it is because of people like Marty, who helped to really pioneer this local food movement and worked with some of the greatest chefs that had an immense amount of talent and were just looking for those flavors to add to their menus. And, I remember the first time I went to Girl and the Goat and had the green beans off of Stephanie's menu. And I said, these are the best green beans I've ever had. Turns out they were Marty's green beans. Turned out they're a variety of green beans called Empress green beans. And that really gets into this whole idea that it's not just about growing the generic green bean. Mm-hmm. It's about growing a variety that's fundamentally full of flavor. Maybe a little bit harder to grow.
Yeah, but that's really the crux of it. It may be a little bit harder to grow, and I think that people who might be listening right now say, and also it might be a little bit more expensive to harvest and to put on plates in Chicago. And your documentary kind of looks at what that means, because, you know, we all have our stereotypes or what we think of. Oh, well, you know what, Marty, that's going to be, if I go to the farmer's market, I'm going to pay double. If I get the organic, it's going to be more. All the kind of things that we go through, your documentary kind of pokes at and starts to unravel some of the things that are stuck in our heads.
Yeah, how could that possibly be the food system of the future, right? But when you look at it and you see that, here's three people who work 160 acres. When I've talked to row crop farmers who need to farm 1,000 acres in order to make a living of $80,000. And think about how many farmers can be put onto the land if you divided that land up into smaller farms like what Marty and his family are doing. And if you developed more connections, not to mention if you incentivized farmers to grow this way through government policies. So, to think that it's impossible to have a food system like that means you don't really necessarily care about your children's future.
Well, that's really what the film Sustainable is about. It's on Netflix now. Matt Wexler is one of the directors, creators, and in studio with me tonight. You know, we make a transition to industrial agriculture, which, and you go through the history of it, that at one point it was a bunch of rural farms, not unlike what we see with Marty Travis, and corporations came in and said, we double, triple, quadruple, massively expand what we do here, we can make a lot more money. And that sort of became the farming that we know to be U.S. farming, this monster fields and farms and huge processing plants and everything that goes into it. That's what we know to be farming in America.
Yeah, but it didn't go to feed the people it needed to feed. In the late 1960s, the food insecurity was at about 5%. It's now at about 13%, despite the fact that we produce enough food in this world to feed about 10 billion people. And we have about a billion people starving across the world. So this industrialized food is not going to feed the people who need it, and nor is it doing a service to the earth itself. I mean, it's killing our soils. Across the heartland of America, we have the Ogallala Aquifer, which feeds, I believe, 8 states and has about 15 years left of water on it. There are areas that have already dried up. This area used to house 60 to 90 million ruminant animals, buffalo and all sorts of deer and everything else. It was a pasture land, right? And if we can return it to that pasture land, we would go so far in sequestering carbon to reverse climate change effects and also to create a resilient farm system in America that would feed a lot of people.
Matt, as I explore tonight in Extension 720 this concept of climate change and whether or not it can be reversed, and also what are some of the challenges, the agriculture system really plays a central part of it, because the land use, and you talk about it in the film, a lot of the waste that industrial farms are putting into our lakes and aquifers and rivers that are heading to the Gulf of Mexico or other places. I mean, these are all the things that tie together why our planet is in disarray right now.
Yes, I mean, why politically we can't see and connect the dots that the food system is the centerpiece for fixing climate change, I'm not totally sure. When you talk about carbon in the atmosphere, you have to talk about where that carbon is going to go. And the likely place, the best place for that carbon to go is back to the soil where it started.
Which is by design.
Right. So if you converted land that used to be pasture back into pasture that is currently being used to grow row crops, corn and beans, you would go very far in sequestering carbon. And there was just a recent report by the Rodale Institute that said if all farms went towards organic practices, it would sequester enough carbon to reverse climate change.
And you mentioned in the film, and I thought this was just such a great point, and I think it was the Rodale Institute talking about the difference between organic and I guess it would be non-organic or industrial.
Yeah.
But there always has been, especially from consumers, this idea that, well, that's more expensive, or to do it organic is not efficient. And they debunk it completely, saying these are just words, that if you actually did organic practices and got rid of the pesticides and all the other stuff, you wouldn't even see a difference.
Yeah, I mean, 30-plus years of research, trial, side-by-side trial of organic versus industrialized row crops, and the organic actually does better in years with drought and climate differentials, but is pretty much on par with the industrial other years.
So why do we have such a... Is it really just the industrial...
It's big business.
Business holding on.
It's big business. And, you know, it's farm subsidies, it's old school politics, it's, you know, government structure that has been in place since the 1920s, really since the time when the Green Revolution really started in between the 20s and the 40s. So it's time for a fundamentally new food system, and that is, you know, what we want you to think about when you watch the film Sustainable, that it is possible. It takes really smart people like Marty, but we have this information now, and we have a way of connecting people with the information. We have technology now to get the information in the hands of all these farmers.
Matt Wexler is the director of Sustainable. This film will be screened at the Garfield Park Conservatory this Saturday. He will be on hand for Q&A. It's part of the mini film fest, the Earth Week mini film fest from the One Earth Film Festival. We'll take a quick break, come back, continue our conversation. Matt Wexler and the film Sustainable in studio, Extension 720. Stay with us. Thanks, Don. Extension 720 here on 720 WG, and I am Justin Kaufman. We're talking about the film Sustainable, which you can find on Netflix. It's also part of the Earth Week mini film fest from the One Earth Film Festival. It's going to be screened on Saturday at the Garfield Park Conservatory in Garfield Park. And Matt Wexler, one of the directors, creators of the film, will be there for a Q&A, and he's in studio tonight. We're talking about this film that really looks at the local food movement, but also explores the history of industrial agriculture. And there's a point where there's this talk in the middle of the, I would say the middle of the 20th century, where there was a need for efficiency in farming, and that's what that really was the push, this efficiency. We're going to mass produce everything from grain to meat to dairy, whatever it might be, but we need more and more to feed. They talked about food insecurity, and really the byproduct was rural America. And if anyone who's living and who's listening in the suburbs or maybe in the city, you may have this thought of the red barn and what rural America is today. And The film looks at industrial agriculture and paints an entirely different picture.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's going on in rural America right now is economic colonization. You know, that's really what's going on. And a Wall Street Journal article pointed out a 5-year decline in the rural population and that rural America is leading in all poverty statistics. So it's not a pleasant place to live anymore. And you go to a farm like the Marty Travis's farm, Spence Farm, and it's beautiful. But outside of that, it's a really hostile place, and it's difficult for someone who's young, like myself, who would love to move out to the country one day, to find a place where I would feel that I'm safe, where I can grow food for myself, where I wouldn't feel like my rights may be taken away from me from my industrial farming neighbors polluting my water, polluting my air, or making it a hostile environment for me to live in.
There was so much made of bailouts with the tariffs, and we saw with some of the things that just happened with the Trump administration, the continuing fight with China. But now I think about it after watching your film and better understanding agriculture, that the bailout may not have been for mom and pop on their local farm, but really we're talking about a bailout for these industrial agriculture providers who really are working in mass production.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they are technically family farms. They are, but they are very large companies. You know, they are people who are farming thousands and thousands of acres. It's very different from small farms like Marty Travis's. And the thing is that, I mean, when you have a global food economy, and you will have massive collapses of your food system where you need to bail out an entire industry. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, and the government has basically bailed out the dairy industry too. They're buying up all the cheese because the dairy industry can't sell it. The dairy industry is in a 25-year decline, something like that. So, and they're counting on the government to help them get out of it. So if you think about how we transition to a better food system, you could talk about spreading people out on the land, rebuilding rural America. At one point in time in the 1930s, 25% of the population in the U.S. lived on over 6 million farms. We have less than 2 million farms now. Less than 2% of our population lives on them. And some studies show that less than 200,000 people actually contribute to our food system today.
There's something about it, too, when we talk about climate change and we talk about how farming and agriculture plays a role in this, that there needs to be a system change. And you kind of mentioned it right before the break, that everyone needs to kind of embrace the idea that there's still money that can be made. But the way we do farming now and the systems now and the waste that, that obviously is going downriver, just to, in general, that has to change. And are we seeing the farming community, the agriculture community step up to the plate on this kind of stuff? Are they saying we recognize that the impact we're having on the planet? Or like many of the other industries, are they saying, you know what, we're just going to keep doing this till someone says we can't, and then we'll fight to the dickens till we can't?
Right now we're seeing deregulation. That's what we're seeing. Slipped into the 2018 or 2017 U.S. budget was a bill that said that you cannot complain about odors from large concentrated animal feeding operations anymore. So that's what they do. They realize agriculture is not on the radar of people. There has not been a U.S. presidential debate about agriculture since the 1960s. That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And right now we have, you know, 20 candidates who are all in the state of Iowa, and many of them have participated in conversations about changing our food system. But if that conversation dies in Iowa and it doesn't move on to other states, then nothing is accomplished, and we're back to where we were. And we need to really talk about how do we rebuild rural America? How do we make it possible for young people to go out there? I talked to one farmer who contributes a lot to the Chicago community, is Greg Gunthorpe, and he has the second largest pasture chicken farm in the entire country. And he was telling me that in his area, they had a referendum on whether or not to continue funding the school there or not, because they don't have enough people to pay taxes to fund that school. And the referendum did not pass, and they no longer will be having school for kids in that neighborhood. They will have to go to the nearest school in the next county. That's really sad.
There are a lot of other things. I mean, obviously we're drawing out some of the controversial parts about the film, but it is, I really enjoyed watching and trying to understand how farming has changed. And one of the areas, and some of the chefs are talking about wheat, that wheat really is the foundation of this country, and we have used wheat to settle and to thrive and to prosper. But somewhere along the line, once again, things changed, and wheat went in a different direction.
Yeah, but just you saying wheat made the hair on my arms stand, because I'm in love with the flavors that come from some of these small farms, some of these varieties that have been brought back by these champions like Greg Wade and Ellen King out in Evanston, yeah, where I live. The flavors that are coming here are amazing. They're working with farmers, some who have converted actually from being traditional.
They're different varietals, right?
Yeah, row crop.
Right, right.
I mean, you're talking about more than 60,000 varieties, I believe, just in the U.S. seed bank alone. And thankfully, there are people at University of Illinois now who are doing studies, trials to test these wheats.
And this is important, Matt, because in the film you talk about how the wheat industry, or just the idea of harvesting wheat, they went in a different direction where they said varietals are the enemy.
Yeah. Norman Borlaug won the Nobel Prize for creating the dwarf wheat, which they said at the time was going to feed the world. And what they did in breeding that is they bred out all the protein. They bred out everything that was fundamentally good about wheat was bred out. And now we have this gluten thing going on, which is kind of a byproduct, actually, of the fact that we changed wheat from something that was incredibly healthy to something that is incredibly not healthy. And, you know, 99% of the wheat that's grown in this country is one or two varieties of this dwarf wheat. But that's changing. And they're especially here in the Midwest. And people on the coast, they even talk about it. You have a great bread culture going on in the Midwest.
And I think at the core of that storyline is about, once again, local farmers and local producers deciding to do something different to almost disrupt, if you will, the cycle in which we make food. And that's really what this film is about. Sustainable is the film. You can find it on Netflix. I watched it the other night. It was great. It's also a part of the mini film festival as part of the Earth Week and the One Earth Film Festival. And it's going to be at the Garfield Park Conservatory coming up this Saturday. Matt Wexler will be there doing a Q&A. You can join him there. What time does that start?
I believe it's at 11. Don't quote me on it.
Some time to check your local listings, yeah. Right. Matt, a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for coming in and looking forward to our next conversation. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.